Father, so thank you for gathering us all here and fill this place with your spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Happy Wednesday, all. Here we are, loving that weather out there, aren't you? All right, no comment. Hey, last year, the St. Benedict Institute, which is connected with one of our church partnerships, launched a new program on campus called the Exodus 90 Program. Exodus 90 Program. It's coming, all right. Which is a 90-day challenge of practicing the spiritual disciplines of prayer, 20 minutes a day, of sacrifice, which is daily giving up or fasting of certain dietary and living habits, and then third, fellowship, which is meeting once a week with other college peers for encouragement and accountability with the adult mentor. Last year, over 40 different Hope College students and faculty and staff participated in Exodus 90, including Micah Stillwell. You can give Micah a little loving. and Kelly Pettigreen as well, too. So I got a quick question to the two of you. So Micah, why would you sign up for this 90-day challenge? What motivated you to sign up?
That's a good way to put it, Boris.
Thank you, Micah.
It's pretty intimidating. My group of guys, when we were contemplating whether we wanted to do Exodus, it's not your typical 40-day fast of chocolate for Lent. It's a lot deeper in every single aspect.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we realized that the only reason we were afraid to do it was because we didn't actually want to let go of all the earthly pleasures that it forces you to give up, the disciplines that they're called. So, and that was the light bulb for us. We realized that's why we should do this. It's because we're so connected to those things.
Awesome. Kelly, how about you?
So I was in a time in my life that needed revival with my Heavenly Father. I had lost my dad to cancer just before coming to college, and that left a huge void in my life. It totally turned my world upside down, and I needed to depend on my Heavenly Father. Mm,
that's awesome. Yeah. So you signed up, both of you.
Yep.
Okay. So you made it through the 90 days. Kelly, what was it for you personally? What did those 90 days, Exodus 90, really, the impact on you personally?
Yeah, so the pivotal moment for me in Exodus 90 happened actually in the shower. So one of the sacrifices in Exodus 90 is that, you know, you don't crank up the heat in the shower. And I remember standing in the shower one day after cold track practice, and I was like, God, this sucks. Like, this totally sucks. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly, Kelly, you don't have to be physically okay to be okay. And in that moment, I realized that my source of comfort and peace in my heart was totally dependent on my circumstances, so how my life was. If my life was chaotic, then my heart was chaotic. And that Exodus 90 in those disciplines taught me to put my source of comfort in the Prince of Peace.
That's awesome. Micah, so that's the personal impact. Mm-hmm. You met in a group weekly. What's kind of the communal impact it had on you, doing it with other people, locking arms, doing this 90 days together?
One of the most important parts of Exodus is the brotherhood or sisterhood, whichever that you're a part of. There's posters hanging around campus, and I love, they say, to the heights and through the depths together. There were weeks in Exodus where I was flying high. The disciplines were going great. The Holy Spirit was working in so many amazing ways in my life. But there were weeks where the devil was attacking from every angle consistently, and I felt like a failure. And during those rough weeks, the Holy Spirit is made known to you again through your group, through your brotherhood or sisterhood. They pray for you. We meet once a week and pray with each other. Your prayer partner prays over you. And that is so critical to enduring Exodus.
That's awesome. So Exodus 90 is happening again this year, February 15th through May 25. The hope is that the numbers will double, if you want to be a part of it, you can go on the St. Benedict Institute website or campus ministry website, and there'll be links to sign up, as well as posters around campus. Carly McShane, you can get a hold of her through her email as well, too, to be a part of this. Pray about it. Think about if this is something you need to be a part of to grow in your walk with the Lord and with others. Would you give Micah and Kelly a little loving? Thank you. I want you to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Yay, Jake. Nice job. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Look it up on your Pew Bible, page 966, or your smartphones. Let's get techie. Smartphones. All right. Here we go. Okay, when you got it, leave your Bibles open to your smartphones. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Author Juan Carlos Ortiz, in his book Disciple, accuses many Christians, especially Western Christians, of creating a fifth gospel, a gospel where we decide on what verses of the Bible we want to keep and what verses of the Bibles we want to eliminate. In this fifth gospel, there is no cost in following Jesus. There's no sacrifice, there's no suffering, there's no hardship in being a Christian. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy and the church in Ephesus, quickly debunks this notion of easy Christianity when he says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Can the Apostle Paul be any clearer? Make no mistakes, if you commit to following Jesus, there will be suffering and there will be hardships. And that's why the Apostle Paul opens the second chapter of his second letter to Timothy with a lesson on suffering. Listen to the Word of God from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. "You then, my child, be strong in the grace that it is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things." Keep your Bibles open, keep your smartphones open. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Listen again to verse 3. Share in suffering. That is definitely one of the verses that would not be included in the fifth gospel. We would cut that one out. As one contemporary author puts it, we have an addiction to comfort, which causes us to do about anything to escape pain and hardship, and I would offer suffering as well. But as much as we want to escape suffering and hardship, it comes with the territory of following Jesus. This is a really good time for you as college students to hear this truth, because you're entering the deep end of the swimming pool of life. No more the safety of the shallow end and inflatable floaties. You are moving further into adulthood, which means the stakes of following Jesus increase dramatically. Now, for most of us here, following Jesus will not cost us our physical life, or the confiscation of our property, or physical torture or imprisonment like first century Christians endured, or what some of our brothers and sisters around the world today endure. But it will cost us in other ways. It may cost us friendships, social acceptance. It may cost us sitting home alone on a Friday or Saturday night. It may cost us a job promotion or a graduate school entry. It may cost us family relationships. It may cost us dating or marital relationships. It may cost us a scholarship. It may cost us where we live. It may cost us our reputations. Following Jesus may cost us even being unfairly judged as intellectually shallow or narrow-minded, or unloving, or intolerant, or mean, or just downright foolish. Regardless of the level or the intensity of the suffering for following Jesus, the Apostle Paul has a few things to share with us as we encounter suffering and hardship. And in our text this morning, Paul uses three overlapping images to equip us to face suffering faithfully. He uses the image of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Now, if we had time, we could preach a sermon on each one of these images, but I'm not going to because we don't have that time. Therefore, I'd like to offer just one thought to why I think the Apostle Paul chooses each of these examples to confront suffering and hardship in following Jesus. Sound good? We good? Here we go. First, a soldier. The Apostle Paul uses the image of a soldier to convey to us not to be shocked or surprised when suffering and hardship comes our way for following Jesus. When a soldier enlists and goes through training, they know exactly what they're signing up for: combat. Therefore, when a soldier gets called up into battle, they are ready to confront and to engage. They are not dumbfoundedly pouting in a corner, wondering why this is happening to them. No. Combat comes with being a soldier. And in the same way, suffering and hardship come with following Jesus. So, first point, don't be naive and don't be surprised when it comes. Next, an athlete. I believe the Apostle Paul uses the image of an athlete to clearly communicate that suffering that we endure for following Jesus will involve pain. As I said earlier, we in contemporary culture, especially Western contemporary culture, do not like pain and will do everything we can to avoid it. But the Apostle Paul knew that elite athletes, like we have here at Hope College, elite athletes understand that pain can lead to greater strength, stamina, and endurance. The pain of suffering and hardship for following Jesus, though difficult, can lead to greater dependency and intimacy with God while increasing our spiritual muscles and endurance. Finally, a farmer. My wife Melody grew up on a farm. I did not. And one of the things that I learned about farming and why I believe the Apostle Paul uses the image of a farmer is that there are no shortcuts in farming, especially in regards to crop farmers. You plant a seed, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. There's a lot of waiting in farming. There is no fast-forward buttons in farming. Good farmers possess the virtue of hopeful patience. Let me say that again. Good farmers possess the virtue of hopeful patience. They're willing to practice patience because of the anticipation of the end results of the harvest. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to be patiently enduring of suffering and hardship of following Jesus because there's a bigger and a greater kingdom reality being played out. This past Monday in chapel, we celebrated the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, a person who fully understood suffering and hardship for following the ways of Jesus. He once wrote this: "My personal trials have also taught me the value of unmerited suffering. As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there were two ways that I could respond to my situation, either to react with bitterness or to seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter. Recognizing the necessity for suffering, I tried to make it a virtue, if not only to save myself from bitterness, I have attempted to see my personal ordeals as an opportunity to transform myself and to heal the people involved in the tragic situation which now obtains. Listen to this. I have lived these last few years with a conviction that unearned suffering is redemptive." Let me say it again. Suffering is redemptive. Dr. King's words reminds me of the Apostle Paul's words to the church in Rome when he said this: "And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us." You would probably not find these verses included in the fifth gospel either, but they are included in the Bible, which is trustworthy and true. So, brothers and sisters, understand this:
that suffering and hardship are a part of the package in following Jesus. And at times it will be painful, but confront it with a hopeful patience, knowing that God is working out his redemptive purposes in your life and in the world also that he created and deeply loves. Go in peace.
Hope, I have a correction to make. The summer camp fair is in the Boltman Student Center, 11 to 2. Go check it out.